Acts chapter 28. Hallelujah. I told you to stand, to sit, and I'm going to ask you to stand again as we read. I can't make up my mind, can I? As you're turning there, I want to read a couple statements to you. I'm under the opinion that one of the most dangerous places to be on Sunday morning is a Pentecostal church in name only that tells its people this is all the Holy Spirit has. And on the flip side of that, one of the most dangerous places you can be is in a Pentecostal church where it's real and right, and you keep disobeying God. Because then your heart will become so hard and seared. That's why that boy that left home went to the pig pen. The most dangerous place he could be was in the Father's house. And so many times we sit there in the Father's house. We sit in a Pentecostal church with the fire of God. It's as iron to brand us, but instead we're being seared by hot iron. It's a dangerous place to be, to reject God, to not move with God. Acts 28, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that he looked, after they had looked a great while. Somebody said they looked a great while. And saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Can I tell you, people are watching what we have is real or not. Amen. They may not buy into it immediately. They're watching for a little while. Amen. Howbeit, verse 7, and in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also came, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now, God, that you would come. I ask that you would anoint me this morning. Ask God that you would help me to relay your word, God. Lord, I just ask you this morning that fire would flow in this house this morning, God. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you be honored, that you be lifted up today, God. Jesus, we love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for sending the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that those disciples waited and tarried, Lord. They prayed through God. They waited on you until they were endued with power from on high. I ask you, God, today that we not rush you, that we not rush the working of your hands, but, Lord, that we would wait and tarry also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Y'all stay with us during the altar call. We're going to have a baptism this morning. We're blessed and honored to baptize Sister Kimberly this morning. So excited about that. We're just thankful for all that God is doing. Amen. These precious people get up and they drive to the early morning service from Dothan, Alabama. See Trevor's family here this morning, drove from a long way. We love y'all so much and just honored to have all of our guests here with us this morning, and some familiar faces. Good to see my friends, and we just love y'all very much. Amen. I didn't really title this message this morning, but I just want to preach. Y'all right with that? Amen. I just want to preach this morning the word of the Lord. Amen. I just was praying and really couldn't get away from, you know, I was just thinking about Pentecost Sunday. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, there's so much of an imitation. There's so much limitation in the house of God. Now, what I'm saying this morning, I'm not just talking about, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. That's not what I'm talking about. But I believe that we have put restrictions on Pentecost. Amen. We have tried to make it a form. We do like the Bible says that in the end times that they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Amen. Amen. I believe that if Jesus were to come in the way he truly wants to come in, that a lot of us would be so taken back, we'd call the devil instead of Jesus moving. Amen. But let me tell you, there is no imitation to the real Jesus. There is no imitation to the real Holy Ghost. Amen. There are no limitation to what Jesus can do through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let me tell you, there's no imagination. You'll know that it's right. You'll know that it's real. Amen. Even though you can't control it, and even though you may not understand it, like Brother Justin said, I can tell you this, I don't always understand everything that the Holy Ghost does either. Amen. I just know that it's him. How do you know that it's him? Because my spirit bears witness. Amen. The Bible tells me to try the spirits. And so I know, Brother Buck, when we try the spirit, no matter what I've been taught my whole life, amen, I knew when I ended up in Central Pentecostal on a Tuesday morning, I may have known one thing for such and such time, but I knew when I experienced Pentecost for the right first time, I knew that it was right and I knew that it was real. Amen. And when I hit the floor and got up, I knew that I'd experienced something that nobody could take from me. Amen. They tried to tell me it was of the devil. They told me that it wasn't real. They told me you didn't have to have it, but I come to declare over this house this morning, I thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. I thank God that on a Sunday morning, amen, with about 12 people, Brother Buck, in this little church, amen, oh, we knew what it was always been before, but I heard a heavenly sound, amen. I hit my wife and I said, Carrie, who in the world is praying in the spirit in this little Baptist church? I turn around and it's Brother Buck. Brother Buck's got his hand raised towards heaven, and when I laid my hands on Brother Buck, the power and the fire of God hit me and I began to dance in this house. Can I tell you that in that moment, God changed the direction of this church? And because what God did through the power of the Holy Ghost in that house this morning, that's the reason that we are where we are today. Because of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way. That's the only way that we are where we are. That's the only way that church is there. Amen. People say, how you doing? The grace of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. That day was direction changing for this house. Not everybody stayed. Can I tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes, it will begin to divide people. It will separate people. Amen. I said it'll separate people. Read Acts 19. You'll see that. Amen. No doubt there's two baptisms, and we need this baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said we need this baptism in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you this morning that in Acts chapter 28, we see that Paul and these men on this boat, they were a mess. Can I tell you that they rowed broken pieces of the ship to the seashore of Melita? Can I tell you what Melita means? It can have two meanings. It can mean honey and it can mean refuge. Well, I tell you what, that kind of sounds like a right place to be. If I show up on an island on a broken piece of wood, amen? Amen. I'm probably ready for something more than what had been going on since I've been shipwrecked. Amen. I tell you, they've been through the storm of their life. Amen. I said they've been through the storm of their life, but now they show up to a place that's a refuge, and they show up to a place that's going to be like honey. Amen. They just don't know that yet, but can I tell you that that is where they landed? Amen. They showed up there to the island of Melita on broken pieces of boards. They were broken pieces of heart. It was raining and it was cold. Don't you know that they were ready for fire? Amen. Don't you know that they were ready for fire? But a barbarous people, met them. A barbarous people. I looked up this word barbarous in the Greek. It can mean harsh. It can mean rough. It can mean that their speech is rude. Well, that don't sound like the type of people that I want to meet. Amen. Don't you know what I've been through? And now I'm going to show up to this island. Amen, to a place of refuge, but people are going to be ugly to me. Well, we got good news. Amen. This barbarous people wasn't harsh to them, but instead they built them a fire. Amen. Can I tell you what barbarous also means? Is one who speaks a foreign language, which is not, amen, which is not understood by another. Can I tell you that there is a world that is out there that don't understand the language of the church right now? Can I tell you they don't understand the moving of the things of God? But can I tell you they're sitting back and they're just waiting on somebody to show up? Amen. I said they're waiting on somebody to show up and talk to them. They're ready to build a fire for us. Amen. Can I tell you God will use who God needs to use in our life? Amen. I believe that they said even a while ago, God will even use our enemies to bring blessings upon us. Amen. God will even make our enemies to be at peace with us. Amen. So there is a preparation of Pentecost. Preparation of Pentecost. Can I tell you how you come to the cross, then to Pentecost? You can't just get filled with the Holy Ghost without coming first to the cross. Can I tell you when they rode the broken pieces of the ship? Can I tell you that is a type of the cross? Can I tell you that a lot of people think, well, I speak in tongues, so I'm okay. No, not unless you come to the foot of the cross first. Amen. You can't come to Pentecost without coming through the cross. Amen. The Bible says they rode those broken pieces of that ship. Amen. They rode those broken pieces. Some of them were just, I'm telling them, that ship broke to pieces, and they're on the pieces of wood. Amen. Can I tell you they were just clinging to that old rugged cross? Amen. Can I tell you and I that you and I must cling to the old rugged cross? Amen. Everything in your life, your ship may be beat, it may be battered, but can I tell you, if you'll just cling on to the pieces of wood, if you'll just cling on to the old rugged cross, can I tell you, it's going to lead us to the next step of Pentecost. Amen. I'm telling you, church, it's time that you and I would find a place at the altar and find a place back and cling on to that old rugged cross. You don't hear much preaching about the cross any longer. You don't hear much preaching anymore, Brother Buck, about the blood. But it's time that you and I would find a place at the foot of the cross, because at the foot of the cross, you're going to cling there. At the foot of the cross, that blood's going to flow there. And when you and I get back up and go through that cross, then I can tell you that we're going to come and experience Pentecost. Amen. I said there's a preparation of Pentecost. Amen. Can I tell you them all the 120 went in that upper room. The Bible said Jesus came to 500, but there was a separation. Not everybody's going to experience this full gospel. Amen. Can I tell you, I found out a long time ago that when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I lost a lot of people in my life. They began to say that I was demon possessed. They begin to walk away. They didn't want nothing to do with me. Can I tell you there's a preparation? Not everybody's going to go with you to that upper room. Not everybody's going with you there. Not everybody is going to stay there with you. There's a preparation to Pentecost. And can I tell you, when you get there, the fire reveals the viper. The fire reveals the viper. I'm just going to use this as a bundle of sticks, because the Bible said Paul went and gathered a bundle of sticks. Amen. He's the one that went and got them. He could have sent anybody else, but the Bible says Paul went and gathered the bundle of sticks, right? Well, he went and gathered the sticks. Well, guess what? That viper never bit him then. Don't you know he had them just like this? How do you go get sticks? You don't hold them out here like this, do you? No, you go pick them all up, and you hold them just like this, right? And then when you're going to go build a fire, what do? You put them down. Well, surely if you throw that bundle of sticks down, surely the viper's going to come out then, right? No, no, no. Who's got a cigarette lighter? Let me use it. Almost had you, didn't I? Aha! Uh-huh. We're at GFCC. No, tell everybody's hand go up. Thought I had you, didn't you? Huh? Hands going up. I'm just kidding. Thank God, we're in church. All right, let me see it, AP. Old DB's getting his out over here. Amen. It wasn't until fire, it wasn't until the fire was lit that the viper came out. It wasn't until the fire was lit until the viper came out. Whenever the fire was lit, now the viper begins to show itself. Can I tell you, there's a lot of churches that are Pentecostal by name. We got sticks gathered. I'm waiting to build a fire, but it ain't built yet. Why do we fight so much hell, Pastor? I can tell you why. Because there's been a fire built. There's a lot of people that brought their sticks to the fire. Amen. Why are you fighting what you fight? Why you stay bit all the time? I can tell you why. Because there's fires being lit. Amen. You see, a lot of people walk around like this and they say that they're Pentecostal. Everybody's always about to build a fire, but when are we going to build the fire? You see, there were some people that were cold, that had been in water, and I can tell you it was rainy. There needed to be a fire built. Can I tell you, there's a world out there that is lost, that is sin-stricken, that is cold, and that is weary. Can I tell you this morning, it's time we quit carrying the bundle of sticks around and put a fire to it and let the fire burn. We don't want to put fire to it because every time we light a fire, the snake comes. Every time we light a fire, the viper comes. I'm tired of being bit. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of venom. Can I tell you, the fire not only reveals the viper, it reveals the venom. I said it reveals the venom, but the venom wasn't in him. The venom was in them. They begin to say immediately, look at this guy. He's a murderer. He gets what he deserves. He gets what he deserves because now he's built a fire and now the snake bites him. Isn't that just like people? Oh, yeah, he ain't nothing but a prisoner. Rides that boat over here on broken pieces. Just look at him. Just look. Can you believe that he has audacity to show up here? We're going to build a fire. Now look at him. The snake bites him. Oh, yeah. You see, they immediately begin to call him things that wasn't right. Can I tell you, I said this, no imitation, no limitation, and no imagination. Can I tell you, your imagination will lie to you. Your imagination will say to you a lot of things about others that isn't right, real, or true. I said, your imagination. They begin to imagine things about Paul. Here's what the Bible says that they said about him. Are you still with me? Listen to what they said. And when the barbarians, verse 4, saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man, no doubt, no doubt. They already made their mind up. No doubt he's a murderer. Their imagination, no doubt. No doubt he's a murderer. Whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. You see, there was a person on that island that if you showed up there, basically I guess they were living by karma. I don't know. You did this, so now it's going to get you. That's the way they lived on that island. And they got a name. That's what they believed. So now he showed up there, and you're a prisoner. Now you're going to show up to our island. Now this snake that came out of the fire now is going to bite you. Now you're dead. Oh, yeah. You see, not only is the viper revealed, but the venom, not in Paul because he was unharmed, but the venom in them, not him, was revealed. Can I tell you, when the fire reveals the viper, amen, it'll reveal the venom in everybody that's around you. I said, it'll reveal the venom in everybody that's around you. Amen. Here I am with a viper hanging on my hand. I'm unharmed, but guess what? You're the one that's going to harm me, not him. That viper can't do anything to me. But the people that surrounded me, oh, yeah. The people, the Bible says they are barbarous people. They can't speak my language. They don't understand. Can I tell you, Pentecost is a demonstration, not a talk. I'm just going to sit here in the fire. Just hang on there for a little bit longer, snake. You ever been bit? Amen. You ever been bit? You ever just... You know what? I'd be after his hand too. I'd be after that man's hand too if I was a devil. Amen. Because Acts 19 said his hands were laid on those and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Acts 19 said his hands were laid on many people and they were healed, and even his handkerchief. Amen. Can I tell you, I'd be after his hands too. If I'd be after whatever is in you, if I was a devil too, amen, I'd be trying to bite and hang anywhere and put venom on the inside of you and I too. Amen, if I was a devil, I'd be after this church too. Amen, if I was a devil, I'd be trying to bite and hang out everywhere that I could and instill my venom. Let me tell you what the problem isn't the serpent. The problem's the people. No devil will keep us from being unified. Are you hearing me? I said, no devil will keep us from being unified. Everything that them 120 had went through didn't keep them from meeting in one place, one mind, and one accord. There wasn't a devil that could keep them, but they all could have kept themselves. Amen. There was 500 that appeared there. So what? I'm not a good mathematician. How many is that? Any math teacher in here? How many? How many is that didn't go up there? 380. 380 were separated and didn't go to the upper room. I wonder why? Because they had formed their own thoughts and opinions. We're not going up there. You think I'm going up there with them? No, no, no. So you make up your mind. Are you moving forward with us or not? 380 didn't go. But Jesus appeared to them, and the 120 went. So can I tell you, if 120 people go, who are you and I to think that we can't go? Amen. I said the problem's not the devil. The problem is the people. But we're constantly blaming the devil for everything. Boy, howdy, we sure give him a lot of credit for a lot of things, don't we, that he don't deserve. I think if we'll start taking ownership of our personal lives and look within, amen, I believe we'll get a whole lot further, a whole lot quicker in life, amen. I said there's a preparation to Pentecost. That fire reveals the viper. The fire reveals the venom. But the fire also reveals the victory in Jesus. Amen. The fire also reveals the victory that is in Jesus. Amen. Look, check this out. Talking about the fire. Did not the fire reveal the viper to Peter? Come on now. But who was the viper in? A snake didn't come out of the fire. But Jesus had just told Peter. He had just told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. No, I'm not. Who was the viper in? The viper was in him. What was the viper in Peter? Pride. No, Jesus, I'll die with you. I'll go to jail with you. Oh, yeah? Where was it revealed? By the fire. Can I tell you? A lot of people don't want to come near the fire. And so here's what we do. We'll sit back and we'll talk about the fire, Pentecost. Look at them over there. Look at them crazy people dancing around that fire. Look at them people over there talking in tongues like, I can't believe they'd go to that church. I can't believe anything. You see, people form their own imagination about people that are by the fire. And so because we don't want to get by the fire, because the fire not only reveals the viper, but a lot of times the viper don't come out. Sometimes the viper's within. You see, the viper was within Peter, but by the fire it was exposed, and he began to say, I don't know who that Jesus is. I don't know who that Jesus is three times by the fire. But also that Jesus built a fire. And can I tell you, Peter found victory by fire. Can I tell you, the fire not only reveals the viper, not only reveals the venom, but can I tell you, the fire also reveals the victory. The Bible goes on to say that as that snake, as that viper hanged on Paul's hand, he just took it back and he just shook the snake right back off where it goes. Can I tell you, he didn't question God why? He didn't look at them guys and say, why didn't you go get the wood? Why didn't you start the fire? He wasn't mad at God. You know what he did? He didn't pay that thing any attention. He just said, get off me, devil. I ain't got time for you today. I came to this island to build a fire. I'm going to Rome to preach the gospel. And if you think that I'm going to let a viper stop me from the call of God, you got another thing coming. Some of you need to lift up your hand and just shake the snake off of your hand this morning. Just get rid of the venom. Get rid of the viper this morning. It don't have place in our life. The fire of Pentecost will always reveal the viper. Always. So that's why we just stay stagnant. We'll carry wood around, but we'll never put a match to it. I look good as long as I'm bringing my wood, right? I look pretty good. I'm playing the part. When you going to put a match to that fire? Amen. A lot of us come in church and we leave with the same wood we've been carrying for 50 years. People say, have you done your part? Yeah. I brought my wood to church, but I left with it too. I like that wood. It's my friend. I've lived in this way for my whole life. I don't want to get rid of it. Because 50 years ago, the viper bit you. You never forgot about it. That venom got you. You never forgot about it. That pastor hurt you. You could never forgive. That man that abused you. That woman that abused you. That divorce. You was never able to shake it back. Walk around in guilt and shame. You see, Paul knew I better get that snake off now. Because if I don't, he's going to leave a mark. He's going to leave a mark. And so a lot of us, we just carry wood around and we play the part. We play religion, but we'll never put the match to it and start a fire because we know that we're going to get bit. The fire of Pentecost always reveals the viper. The fire of Pentecost always reveals the venom in those other people. So when they thought, they said, no doubt this man is a murderer. They had their minds made up. Can I tell you, in real Pentecost, there's no imitation, no limitation, and no imagination. You'll know it's the real thing and that it's the right thing. They had their mind made up that he was a murderer. But then all of a sudden, uh-oh, get off me, devil. Uh-oh, get off me, viper. And all this, whoa. Now everything changes. It might be right. It might be real. Can I tell you now their imagination went from this side of the pendulum to this side. Now they're going to say, oh, maybe not. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that they had looked a great while and saw no harm come on him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Make sure you know that's a little g god. No pastor, no missionary, no preacher should ever be elevated in our eyes as a god. I don't care how much authority they walk with. I've seen too many people's hearts crushed because they elevate. Now, I'm saying you should honor, but when you honor somebody, you do that out of love. You don't make people a god, a little g god. Amen. I've seen people totally backslide, Pastor Michael, because they made pastors and preachers and missionaries their god. But can I tell you what's going to happen when they walk away? What's going to happen when they pass away? If that is who you built your life around because that's the way they've always done it, then I can assure you nobody will ever be able to be what they once were in your life. That's why we got to get our eyes off of man. Amen. We got to honor the man. We got to honor the woman. But we better get our eyes on Jesus. The Holy Ghost spoke to us today and said, lift up your heads for our redemption draws nigh. Amen. You see, they went from this side of the pendulum to this side of the pendulum. But can I tell you this morning that Paul just kept going. Paul kept walking. And the Bible says that they watched a little bit longer. Can I tell you, people's waiting and watching to see if what we have is the real thing. People's driving by. Oh, that church, it did come up a little bit. I wonder if it'll be finished. People that I've seen build churches said, holy cow, that is fast. My grandmother, Bonzi Jenkins, if y'all know her, she's a precious woman. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't want to be around my grandmother when I was lost. When I was high, I didn't go to Christmas there. You know why? Because there was something in her. And it revealed the venom in me. But when I got saved, my grandmother, precious as can be. But I know this one thing. I know this. She's been right there at First Baptist Church for years. 50, 60, 70 years, I guess. She stood in the middle of that church last week and cried She said, I'm standing in the middle of a miracle before my own eyes. And I said, glory to God. Glory to God. Can I tell you, people's waiting and people's watching to see if what we have is the real thing. They've seen that we've been bit. If I know of a people that's been bit, this church right here has been bit. A lot of vipers have came out of the fire. A lot. I've seen a lot come. I've seen a lot go. Because the viper came out of the fire. Instead of shaking it back off where it belongs, they walked out with it. Hanging. Then it built their children too. Then it built their grandchildren. It just began to bite people. I've seen a lot of people come and go, but I've seen some stay. But can I tell you, people's watching if what we have is the real thing. Can I tell you, they're waiting and they're watching. Can I tell you, there's power in Pentecost. I better hurry. There's power in Pentecost. What is the power? I'm glad you asked me this morning. The power and the authority to shake the snake off your hand. Can I tell you, you don't have to let that thing stay there. Can I tell you this morning, you don't have to let it hang there any longer. You have the right and you have the authority over that devil. Amen. You have the right over that venomous snake. You have the right over that viper. All you have to do is begin to move a little bit. Can I tell you, you just need to begin to obey God. Because here's what we begin. Well, I deserve that. Well, I think maybe this belongs to me. No, I can tell you that viper is not yours. You don't deserve the bite of the viper. Amen. But let me tell you what you do have. You do have the authority to shake that snake right off of your hand. Amen. And can I tell you, Mark chapter 16, Jesus said this. He said, they shall take up serpents. Now somebody said the other day that we were a snake handling church. I'm scared to death of a snake. Amen. They look like the pure devil to me. I can assure you I'm not a snake handler, but I trust this. Amen. I trust what the Bible says. Amen. I don't believe that we're to tempt God, but here's what I believe. Amen. I'm not talking about the real thing, but I believe we can take the devil by the throat. Amen. I believe we can take his venom. I believe we can take his lies. And when they come and try to attach themselves to us and hang around for a little while, because can I tell you, that's what the viper does. He'll just come hang around in your mind a little bit. He'll hang around in your home a little bit. He'll hang around in your children a little bit. He'll hang around in your marriage a little bit, but you and I have the authority. The Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. What are you saying, Jared? I said, take the devil by the throat and shake him off. Get thy rid of the lies and say, devil, you can't stay. Michael Scott, you have the authority to shake that addiction. Don't tell me you don't. Get it off! We like it, so we don't shake it off. It's comfortable to us, so we don't shake it off. We get in pity, so we don't shake it off. I deserve this. Shake it off. The only place for that viper to be is right back in the fire where it came from. I said there's power to Pentecost. I love this. I heard the Holy Ghost aloud say this to me. What should have killed him cured a whole island. What should have killed Paul ended up curing a whole island. Can I tell you that? What should have killed him ended up curing a whole island. Paul's hands that should be filled with poison became filled with power. I just believe Brother Mike, it had to be the right hand. I don't know that, but I know where that devil comes at. That righteous right hand, brother. That hand of authority. That hand of fellowship. That hand of honor. Amen. That Bible says that man's withered hand was his right hand. Amen. I just believe that viper knew right where to go. I'm going to get Paul's honor. I couldn't get him in that ship on the way here. I'm going to get him on this island.
I'm going to get him on this island. You know what I thought about too?
Imagine this.
Imagine back in Acts chapter 8. Whose hands held the coats? Whose hands held the coats as they stoned Stephen? Don't you know that old Saul of Tarsus, that hand, that righteous right hand was dirty? Hold murderers' coats. But now in Acts 19, he's laying hands on people and they're receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You mean a man that held coats in his hand is now laying hands on sinners and they're getting healed, they're getting filled, they're getting saved, amen? You mean that same man's hands? Well, can I tell you, I believe that that devil knew right where to go, amen? I believe that viper knew right where to go. I'm going to get that hand that held the coats of all them men, amen, that stoned Stephen to death. Oh, I got new good news for you this morning, church. I said there's power in Pentecost, amen? Amen. The Bible speaks of a man in verse 8. His name is Publius, and his father lay sick. Can I tell you, that man was the highest man on that island. His name means popular. Can I tell you that Paul went from being a prisoner to being in the most popular man's house overnight? Somebody needs to hold on a little bit longer. You may be in prison right now, but it won't be long that you're going to be laying hands on the most popular people in the world. Reveals the viper, the venom, but also the victory. There's power and Pentecost. Paul's hands that should be filled with poison is now filled with power. What should have killed him is now curing a whole island. In the same quarters were possessions of a chief man of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. My God. Just like that. His father was sick. Paul entered in and prayed. And what did he do? Laid his hands on him and healed him. Those hands that should be filled with poison are now filled with power. Whew, my God. Somebody needs to move from poison to power today in this house. Some of you's been carrying that viper around with you. You've kind of liked the sting. You've liked the poison. You've become accustomed to it. God wants to heal the poison today. And God wants to fill you with power. The purpose of Pentecost. Brother Russell, you want to come, or whoever's going to play. There's a purpose of Pentecost. Can I tell you, it's greater than just talking in tongues. I love praying in the Spirit. There's a purpose of Pentecost. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. A different spirit. Can I tell you, we should be people of a different spirit. Purpose of Pentecost is to give us more than tongues, but it's to make us bold. Pentecost is more than a name. It's a demonstration. Think about this. How many of you have had a hard time with what you've been through in life? It's just hard sometimes, right? Have you ever questioned why? Anybody? Why me? Think about this. A barbarous people that don't speak their language, didn't know what they were saying. They were watching for a demonstration of God. The most popular man on the island's father's laying there sick with a fever and about to die. How will he ever know that God is God unless a viper bites? The only way some people may know this Christ and the power of Pentecost is by building a fire and being bit. the bite of the viper revealed Jesus, revealed the power of Pentecost. You see, Paul, the day he was born again, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the same day. He was full. So how could he shake the snake? Because the power of Pentecost. Can I tell you, everything you've been through in your life may be only to reveal Jesus. Sister Amy, the bite of the viper is worth it. Because people's watching. And they see, if it don't harm you, then that's who I'm going to use to come to my house and lay hands on my sick father. Because Paul, if you don't come, my dad's going to die. But Paul, if you're not bit, I'll never know the power of Pentecost. And if a fire's never started, that viper can never come out to bite. So why are we afraid to start a fire, church? Because we get bit. Anybody ever been bit by a viper in here? Raise your hand. Church hurt. Hurt by people. Hurt by life. Can I tell you, a fake Pentecost wasn't going to work here. Can I tell you, Holy Ghost with limits on it wasn't going to work here on the island of Melita. And having some form of imagination of what the Holy Ghost is wasn't going to work on this island. They got nothing to go back to. I'm only going one way. I'm going to Rome. I got a vision, brother. I'm going. But on the way there, I'm going to face some things. Can I tell you, church, we're going somewhere as a church. But we're going to face some things. Probably going to be bit by some vipers. But we don't have to let it stay. Amen. We don't have to let it stay. If you let that viper stay, it'll put that venom in you. Some of you this morning need to build a fire. And you need to put that snake back in the fire where it belongs. Because some of you left the fire of Pentecost. You've been carrying that viper around with you. And it's just hanging. Everybody sees it hanging on your hand. Everybody knows that it's there. They see the venom all in your body. They know it's there. Can I tell you this morning, I believe there's a fire built in this altar. A fire of Pentecost. And today we need to shake that snake back off where it belongs. Because the only thing that I know that'll take care of that viper is the fire. It's the fire. Would you stand with me this morning?